Blog Talk Radio.
As we move forward with Blog Talk Radio, we are always, technology is just something else. That's all I can say. technology is something else, and we're always trying to make sure that we are in the right place at the right time. Right now, technology is where everything is, and we are trying to make sure that we are reaching not only just our community, but reaching the masses. Amen. And through that, technology has given us the opportunity to expand out from our communities into the world. Amen. So we never know who's listening. There could be someone in Alaska listening. Amen. And they're being blessed. And you don't even know it. We don't even know it. But all we do know is that we come together and we serve fellowship, amen, and letting everyone know who we serve, amen. For those of you who are listening by internet, we are an active, an interactive Bible study. And if you'd like to come on and call on and ask questions, you can do that. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you called in, you would just type in, "We can begin again. We can begin again." And we also like to let you know that we are doing, we are on Zoom as well. And the Zoom number, I'm going to ask the speaker for this evening, since when he comes on, he's going to give us the Zoom number so that you will know what the Zoom number is and the passcode, Amen? Amen. And right now he is signaling to me. He is signaling to me, do not put me on blast. Amen. I do have the Zoom number for you in case you would like to participate this evening and be a part of this Zoom. You can just go into the Zoom, and you would type in the Zoom number is, and that is incorrect, the number that we're looking at, the number we are looking at. My wife, my better half, is not here to give me some guidance on the Zoom for this evening. The Zoom number we have is for next week. Amen. So if you received a text, if you received a text this evening, the Zoom number is incorrect. And I need to make sure that I correct that, because this is not the first time that I have done that. So please do not charge it to my mind. Just charge it to my heart, please. I am not able to pull that off before this evening, but I will be giving you the Zoom number. Amen. My wife is not here to give me the Zoom, so I am not able to give that to you right now. I'm pulling it up on the text, and it is not pulling up. I am pulling up the Zoom for the ID for Israel Total Life. So, Pastor Archbishop Palmer, if you're listening, we're going to have to make that correction so that when we differentiate between the two, because I'm getting mixed up, and if I'm getting mixed up, I'm sure that others are getting mixed up as well. Amen. But we are doing Zoom as well. We are on Zoom as well. We also like to let you know that we are back in New Jersey. We have a voice that you have heard before. Amen. We have not heard him in a while come on with the gospel, so he will be leading us this evening, sharing the word of God with us. And so right now we're going to move on over into New Jersey with Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles. Amen. Pastor Miles, we are going to move out of the way and allow the Lord to lead you as he sees fit.
God bless you, Dr. Clay. Appreciate you. Can you hear me, my brother?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm doing a little bit different. As you can see, I'm actually speaking through my Bluetooth, but actually seeing you on the computer screen, and I've turned that all the way down. But for those of you who want to go on to the Zoom, I believe I have the correct number here. That number is 505 505-563-6808. That is actually the meeting number, 505-563-6808. And I do believe that the actual password is Psalms 23 with the capital P. Psalms 23 with the capital P. So if you would like to come on with us and have fellowship one with another to put a face with the voice, please feel free to do so. It's a very nice experience to actually feel that you're in fellowship and in person with today's technology. Once again, one more time, it's 505-653-6808, and the password is Psalms 23, capital P, lowercase S-A-L-M-2-3. Now let us, first of all, go before God for a word of prayer to set ourselves in agreement with him on tonight's Bible study, which we're going through the book of Psalms, and ours is going to be on tonight, Proverbs 7. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who sits high and looks low. Lord, we come to you on today thanking you for life, health, and strength. Lord, thanking you for a day that you have created that we will never see again. Lord, I'm asking right now, look deep down inside each and every one of us. And if there's anything inside of us that's like sin or sin, Lord, we're asking right now that you purge it from our inside, purge it from our whole soul, our mind, our body, will, intellect, imagination, and emotion. Lord, we ask right now, and we set ourselves in agreement with you and your spirit, that your word will speak to us and speak through us, that we may eat it up, digest and live it out to the glory and honor of your will. And Lord, when it's all said and done, that we will actually receive this, because right now, Father, we are setting in agreement that our body right now is good ground to receive this good seed for growth. And we're asking this in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, on tonight, I want to be very candid and upfront with you. Tonight's lesson, Bible study, is not for the faint of heart. This Bible lesson today is for grown folk. Either you've been through it, know if somebody's going through it, or you can teach it to someone. If you are the faint at heart and you're the type that clutches your pearls and how dare that get said and how you say it that way, not disrespectful, but in such a way that people can get it. Because the church right now, church is going through too much taking care of itching ears and too much sugarcoating. Not a sugarcoated preacher. You probably have heard me say this time and time before. I'm not a politically correct preacher, and I'm not going to start today. Now, if you went over chapter 7, let me say before I go further, you may hear some noise in the background. I got little kids around here that like to play hide-and-go-seek by my window. So they're out there right now putting their feet in to find out who's going to be it, with the eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and pick a piggy by the toe and all that stuff. So you might hear that in the background. It's just the kids outside playing. I guess they finished doing their homework. Tonight's topic is wisdom. Now, this chapter here is the fourth installment of something that had been done prior while we were going through the book of Proverbs. And this is talking about avoiding sexual sin. That's all the seventh chapter is talking about. And it gives a very good story and a very good scenario of something that goes on today and has been going on before. And if the Lord Jesus Christ don't come back today, it's going to continue to go on tomorrow and days to come. To get a better understanding of this flow, to get a better understanding of what it's talking about, the first time it was mentioned in chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Then it went on over to Proverbs 5, verses 1 to 23. Then we went over Proverbs 6, 23 to 35. And it was all mentioned in there. Now, this is the fourth installment of this. To set the scene on this, this is about the victim is a young man. A young man that's naive. And he's untaught in moral discipline. And on top of it all, I like to say that the man, the young man, is being the victim of circumstance. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. And when you are young, as the old folk used to say, I can smell a Similac on your breath, the Infamil on your breath. To be young, naive, untaught in a certain discipline, and in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's a recipe for that young man's demise. But here the writer is actually trying to say, look, you need to avoid this sexual sin, and gives an example in a scenario thereof. So if you have some young boys, nephews, grandchildren, this is a very good teaching tool for you to speak to them, especially if they're graduating from high school, going directly into the military, because they're going to be considered adults, grown, and they let them roam the way they want to roam. But if they mess up, this becomes their way. Or they may be going to college. So we're going to go over the scripture. I'm going to go over some things that have happened in my life that I'd like to share with you based on scripture. So let's get started. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. So this is like a father speaking, telling them what I am telling you to do. The commandments I'm giving you, lay up, hide them, store them up. Keep my commandments and live. And my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon the fingers. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. What is he saying to him? What is the purpose of the pupil? If you do not have the pupils in your eyes, you're in darkness. You're going blind. You can't see. But he's saying, I want you to take these words that I'm giving you, and I want you to put them in your heart. What does he mean by heart? He wants him to take these commandments, these sayings, and put them actually into his spirit man. Because we are spirit. By us being spirit, all instructions need to instruct our spirit. Say unto wisdom, verse 4, thou art my sister. Now, the key thing in this that I have learned over time, I don't have a sister, but I have young ladies who I have adopted as sisters, like that's my sister, that's my brother, but there's no relation. He's saying, say unto this wisdom, thou art my sister. So what he's telling them, let that wisdom be your sister in such a scenario that I'm getting ready to give you, what you're getting ready to go through. Call upon understanding as thy kinswoman. Your relative. So I'm going to say for this scenario here, the father is telling the son, what I am saying to you, I want you to take this wisdom, this instruction, these commandments that I'm giving you, I want you to take them as if they're your sister, and take your sister with you when you go, because you're going to need your sister when you go. Let's go on to verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. Watch this now. Let's stop there. How many of you know or may have a cousin or a brother that may like a certain woman? And how many of you ladies out there have said, leave her alone? A woman knows another woman. A woman knows another woman. Now, in this scripture, when it says, from the strange woman, what it's talking about is an immoral woman. Now, I'm sad to say, but it's the truth. There's just some women out there that just ain't no good. I know it's not proper English, but you dig where I'm coming from. That just ain't no good. Let's keep going in the verse. From the stranger which flattereth her words. Now, she talking them words to him. We're going to deal with that a little bit later in the text, but I'm going to say something to you. They say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That ain't the way to his heart. That's been said, and it's believed to be true. The way you get to a man is not through his stomach. When you feed him, you get to his flesh. But that's not how you get to his heart. And I'm going to show you this right now. If you have something to write with and something to write on, I want you to write down the word heart. H-E-A-R-T. Write down the word heart. Heart. We've already talked about in verse 3, heart being the inner man, the spirit man. So the way to get to a man's inner man, his spirit man, if you were to take the word heart, take off the H, take off the T, and what do you come with?
Good.
You come with the word ear. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So, ladies, we're going to revisit this later. You don't get to a man through his stomach. Shut up, Rev. You're talking. You're telling too many secrets. No, no, I got to put it out there. You want that man? You don't get, you cater to his flesh. How many times a man get them smothered pork chops, that gravy on top of that rice, that cornbread and string beans eat and take off? You just cater to that flesh. But in the scripture, it shows the woman what she's doing to get the man, especially the naive one. She's talking them words. She talked them words. Ladies, how many times a man ain't spend not one penny on you? He just talked them words. My grandmother told me many years ago, boy, don't spend no money on no woman. Don't buy them nothing. Well, mama, what if they want a soda? They buy their own soda. Well, if she's thirsty, she's supposed to have her own money. I said, well, then what about if I'm thirsty and I want to buy me a soda? Well, then you have manners. Then you offer. So if they come and ask you to buy them or they ask to take you out, tell them to take their own self out. Don't buy them nothing. Just talk them words. Now, I see what mama was saying. You want somebody that bad enough and they want you that better, just talk them words. Now, that was the introduction. Let's go on over to verse 6. Now, let's look at her setup. Let's look up her setup for her prey. For at the window of my house, I've looked through my casement. Well, she's looked through her window. She has a house, she has the window, she looks through the window. Have you ever seen like a fence, like a picket fence or something of that nature? That's what a casement is. It's like diagonals and boxes going, like a little picket fence, but it's over a window. She looks through that. And beheld, among the simple ones, I discern among the youth, a young man void of understanding. She already knows who she wants to prey on. She wants the simple ones, the naive ones, the ones who don't know, the ones who are untaught in moral discipline, the one that she can catch at the wrong place at the wrong time, ones who void understanding. They're lacking understanding in what she's trying to bring to the table. Now, I want to stop right there before I go any further. I still have more to go on this verse, but are there any questions, comments, or concern at this hour? The mics are open. Brother Moderator, I see that you had raised your hand. Did you have anything that you want to say?
No. Actually, I was just acknowledging someone else.
Okay. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse 8. Passing through the streets near her corner, she went the way to, he went the way to her house. Now, you see, I want to go to the Amplified version. And in verse 8, suddenly through the streets, near the woman's corner, he went the way to her house. She didn't talk the words to him. Excuse me for coughing. Now, she got the attention of a naive, untaught, moral discipline lacking. And it's right now, that young man is in the wrong place at the wrong time. When is this happening? Let's go to verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, didn't Daddy already tell him, keep my commandments, keep the wisdom, keep my words as a pupil in your eye? And if you don't have your pupil, you go blind. You can't see. You're in darkness. Now he's in double darkness. He's in a dark place with a strange woman, an immoral woman. Didn't keep the commandments. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's look at the actions and the attitude. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. So now she done left out of house. She done, now she know young buck outside. Now she done left out her house. Now this means she is sly and cunning. This woman know what she doing. She got him set up. Let's go to verse 12. Now, is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. I want to read this to you in the Amplified version. Verse 12. Now in the streets, now in the marketplaces, she sets her ambush at every corner. He's in a bad situation. No matter where he go, there she is. And now, let's look at it. She put a extra little twist in her hips because she feel him watching, enticing him to more because men are physical creatures. And if I can just use my imagination as a man, she probably in her mind says that I got the kind of jelly that's going to make the jar shake. She know how she is. But I got the kind of jelly going to make the jar shake. And I'm putting this extra little twist in my hips because, see, I know he's watching because, see, he's naive. He's untaught. He's undisciplined in what I'm trying to bring to the table. And I got him at the wrong place. I got him in the wrong place at the wrong time for him, but he's in the wrong place at the right time for me, for what I want to do. Watch this. Verse 13. Oh, let's go back to verse 12. She's lurking. She's setting him up for the ambushment. Verse 13. So, she caught him. All that bait, now she caught him and kissed him. And with an impotent face, said unto him, well, what do we mean? What would that impotent mean? Let's go on down to, with a defiant and shamelessness. The woman ain't got no shame. She ain't got no shame. She done set him up. Now let's see how much shame she doesn't have. Let's see how, as the scripture said in verse 5, how strange she really is. How immoral she really is. Verse 14. I have a peace offering with me. This day I have paid my vows. That is so powerful. She says, here, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Now, this is the setup of the atmosphere for destruction. Remember I told you earlier that the way to a man's heart is not through his stomach? She's actually taking the peace offering and going to feed the peace offering to him. Now, you may say, what's the peace offering? I'm not going to go into it into detail, but I'm just going to give you a brief overview of it. And if you want to read it for yourself, read Leviticus, the third chapter, and it will tell you about the peace offering. Basically, the peace offering is an appreciation and acknowledgement with thanksgiving for God's grace, matchless grace and care. It shows appreciation and acknowledgement with thanksgiving for God's matchless and gracious care. I'm going to say it one more time. To show appreciation and acknowledge with thanksgiving for God's matchless grace, gracious care. Now, with the peace offering, they would bring the peace offering. Things would happen. They would do things to it and all that. The certain part they couldn't eat. And the one who brought the peace offering, they would be able to bring part of that meat back with them. They could eat it. So this lady, this immoral lady, as the Bible call a harlot, people call a prostitute, people in the street call a hoe, whoremonger in the Bible, we call a hoe for short, is taking something that was offered to God for wicked purposes. So now she's going to feed him with this. She made a vow with this, something dedicated to God, for God's gracious care, God's matchless gracious care, showing thanksgiving, acknowledgement, appreciation, and she's going to take this good and use it for her own evil, for her own immoral lifestyle. Verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. Now, she has taken the peace offering, made the man a plate. She had already now fed him. The bed is already made. She got the finest linen that you could lay on. Made the bed real nice. Not only that, verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Now she got it smelling good. Just like a woman likes a nice-smelling man, a man loves a nice-smelling woman as well. Now, she done fed him, got the bed right, got the smell good on the sheets. And then, after she had talked to him earlier, she says, oh, come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let's get in this bed and have intercourse. Let us be one with another. Let us solace ourselves in love. She is saying, let us delight ourselves in having sex with one another. This immoral woman set up this naive, untaught, wrong place at the wrong time young man. How many of you, I'm going to open up the mic now before I go any further. How many of you may know of someone, be it neighborhood, family member, going to college, going to the military, who's young and naive, could use this lesson? Is there anything you want to add, any questions, concerns, comments before I go forward? The mics are open.
The subject, I love the chapter that you're in and all that you're saying here. And she studied that young man. She studied him just like the enemy studies us.
Great.
What I see here, the enemy knows our likes and our dislikes, knows how to woo us, tricks and treats. You know, this is why in the beginning when you said it was so important for that young man to listen to the instruction of his dad. We're to listen to the instructions of our Heavenly Father. And how we do that, we read his word. We lay before him. You know, I like this because the enemy is so cunning. He's so insidious. And I remember the Lord told me one time, Edna, the enemy is coming for people's appetites. Whatever appetite that you haven't overcome yet, that's how he's coming. And with this here, with the harlot and all that, with all that, that's how the enemy knew. See, sometimes the enemy knows how we move, even what, I don't want to say in our heart, but you know what? He studies us, and if we don't conquer what is weak in us, that's how he's coming, and that's how he came with that young man. That's what she did, swiveled her hips or whatever she did, but she wooed him. She wooed him to the point of she laid out her bed, and that's what the enemy does. But yeah, it makes it look real good, and then pop goes the weasel. and the Weezer Go Pop. I'm sorry.
Oh, you beat me too. I'm going to follow up with that one. I'm going to follow up with it. Yeah.
But you know what? It's all about the enemy. Mm-hmm. Even though the writer's given us an illustration of the harlot and the young man, he's just letting us know. The Lord is just letting us know. This is how the enemy comes. He comes insidious. He comes in camouflage. And before you know it, he's got us. But we have to stay, hey, Shande, we have to stay and lay before the Lord and read his word. And I'm finished, sir. You can go ahead. I'm done.
Now, look, are there any others before I get started? Are there any others who'd like to make any comments, questions, or concerns?
Your mics are on for those of you who are called in. We're hearing from Zoom. If you're on, your mics are open. All you have to do is just talk for those who've called in.
Now let's look and see how much more immoral this woman is. Let's go to verse 19. For the good man is not home, for he is on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will not come home at the day appointed. This lady, he is married. She got a husband. Apparently, he may be a businessman. And she know he not coming back no time soon for a few reasons, because he's probably done this before. He's taking good money. She got this all set up and planned. And if I may use my imagination, he don't even have a ghost of an idea of what she's doing. I saw a video on Facebook the other day, and I heard the young lady got blocked off of TikTok for saying it. She said, fellas, you could be in a relationship with a woman thinking that she's faithful and she's been cheating on you the whole time. And if you want, the only way you're going to find out is if she wants you to find out. Other than that, you're not going to find out. This lady is doing this here to this naive young boy. Now, it's not just, I want you to take it, just not one young man. This is something that goes on. These harlots, these prostitutes, they know what they're doing. Some of them come out of it just for the thrill of it, just for the victory of it, just to the excitement. And it seems to me that she's doing this just for the excitement. She has everything she wants. Seems like she has everything she needs, but she chooses to be immoral. Let's go on to verse. We're going to start at verse 21 now. Let's look at the execution and the destruction. Verse 21. With her fair speech, with her fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips and forced him. She seduced him. So, I submit to you, did she get to that man's heart? Did she get to that man's spirit, man? Did she get to that man's soul by feeding him that peace offering? By getting that meal? She got to him through his ear, to that heart, to that spirit, man. And then she seduced him. I want to go to... Let me read it to the Amplified. With much justifying and enticing argument, she persuades him with allurements of her lips. She leads him to come over his conscience and his fears, or forced him along. Something on the inside of him really didn't want to do it. There was some level of conviction on the inside of him. And I believe that certain level of conviction on the inside of him, I'll take it back to Genesis when God actually blew into the nostrils of man and made him live his soul. That's certain part of good conscience that comes from God. When all babies are born, I believe all babies have that. And we all have that to a certain degree to know some right and wrong. Let's go to verse 22. He goes after her straightway, or immediately, as an ox goes to slaughter, or as a fool to the corrections of the stocks. They already know what's ahead. They already know what's at hand. It's the beginning of the end. Verse 23. Till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Let me say it this way. That is totally, it's hard to understand the way it's written, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, and knoweth not that his life is. What? Now, let me tell you this here. Verse 23.
What?
Okay. Verse 23. This is said, I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified version. The word dart means arrow. His passion went through his vitals, went through his soul. Those words got to him so bad, it went through his soul, his mind, his will, imagination, intellect, emotions. And she got him through the words that she spoke through his ear that got to his spirit man, which is his heart. Let's go to verse 23. Let me read it for you to amplify. Till the dart of passion pierces and inflames his vitals. Then like a bird flutters straight into the net, knowing not that it will cost him his life. He made a decision that was detrimental to his health and didn't know it. Why? Because he was a young man, naive, untaught, in moral discipline, and in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm going to open up the mics for thoughts, comments, concerns at this time. Before I close out,
I don't know if you all talked about this before, or if you mentioned this, but in all of the Proverbs, you have to remember that Solomon is talking to his son, mm-hmm. And so when he says "now, son," it's the same as that we, and I know that we're real gender sensitive in the United States or in this time period that we're in, but it's the daughters too. So where the son, it would be a female that's the temptress. For the daughters, talking to the daughters, it would be a male that's the tempter. And I think that this is appropriate. Like the word is always right on time. The word never gets old. It's never outdated. These proverbs are something that can be that are applicable and timeless. And we know that this is when folks get into situations that they pay for with their life and throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's the late teens and the 20s where you think you're grown and you walk into situations that the devil will make you stay in sin, make it seem good, mm-hmm. and stay in sin longer than you want to stay. Mm-hmm. And it's oftentimes those residual effects that you suffer with and the consequences for the rest of your life. So it may not be immediate death, but it's death to hope sometimes, death to your future. health and maybe death to plans that you had, family or whatever, death to relationships. But it does come that way. And the warning is good. You're such a good teacher, Pastor Miles.
May I share with you, I would like to read this from the NIV, and it reads as such. It says, from 21 to 23 from what we just captured, with persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her, like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Little knowing that it will cost you your life. I just wanted to read that part there.
God bless you, man. That was on point. Now, let me say this to you. Since Reverend Doctor had brought up a point about sin, let me give you four things about sin that you may want to have in your library. I said it before in past blogs, but I'm going to say something about sin again, these four things. Sin will take you where you don't want to go. Sin will cause you to do something that you thought you'd never do. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Would you like me to repeat those again?
Yeah.
Sin will take you where you don't want to go. Sin will cause you to do something thought you would never do. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Now, on the flip side, there are six things that Satan gets out of this, but that's for another time. I got to close this out. Let's go. But let me say this one more thing about sin. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. I just want to say this, going to paraphrase. If people would get paid for sin immediately, they wouldn't do it. If payment for sin was immediate, no one would sin. I got that from Ecclesiastes 8, chapter, verse 11. Please read that at your leisure. But let's go back to get this closed out. I got about 6 minutes. Verse 24, the closeout, the final instructions and closing advice. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. In other words, listen to the words that's coming out of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. In other words, he's basically saying at this time, he says, listen, don't turn aside what I've told you. Don't push to the side everything I've given you at the beginning and everything I'm giving you at the end. I've given you a practical example of what she does and how she does it. So now you're not ignorant of her devices. You're not ignorant of how she does. You know because I've told you. There's a difference between not knowing and knowing. See, now he's not naive anymore. Now he knows. Like, I take it back to the garden. And a lot of ladies get upset at me when I say this, but it's Bible. Adam was not deceived. Adam was stupid because he knew what God told him. He had to be on something, but he knew what God told him to do. Eve was the one that was deceived. Scripture teaches that Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. And I take it Adam was just stupid because he knew. And if this young man decides to go anyway and do what he did, he'll be doing just like Adam did back in the garden because he knew better. His daddy already told him. Verse 26, for she has cast down many wounded. She's cast down many wounded. You're not the only one she has done this to if you go that route. She's done it before. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. I think of Samson. Man, love pretty women. The Bible never said that Delilah, I don't know if she was pretty, but he loved fair, good-looking women. So you could assume that she was good-looking. Verse 27. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. Her house, the way she's going, the way she's doing things, will send you straight to hell, to the grave, and to the pit. I submit to all of you right now, if you know of a young man, and that's since Reverend Doctor said, this can be flipped on the flip side for the females as well. Because there was a movie out there, I think it was a Tyler Perry movie or something, where this young lady really with this guy, and the mama said, leave him alone because he's going to destroy you. I don't care, remember it. I just remember seeing the advertisement of it. Sit back and talk to these youth. Just like they got the female harlot, they got these male gigolos out here too. Talk to them. Let this Bible be your guide. It's on time and it's on point. I would like to thank you all for allowing me to share with you on tonight. I didn't know if I was going to have enough time to get it done. But as I see, the Lord worked it out. Are there any questions or concerns before I turn it over to Brother Moderator? Comments, questions, or concerns?
I thought it was a very mighty word that in study as to how we're to listen to God's word, our Father, and also to implement it. The world can be a very treacherous place, and a lot of people make their livings, their lives, playing tricks on people and get enjoyment out of it. It becomes a game. And you have to be aware of the game that's being played so that you are able to get yourself out of it, and especially not get yourself involved in it. But anyway, that game is going to be played, be played, but you have to be able, cognitive, that what's going on and what you need to do by the instructions you receive from your Father, Jehovah God, the instructions we've been given in the Bible, the things we were taught, to not sway from that so that we keep ourselves out of danger. I thought it was a very, very powerful word.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my brother. Anyone else like to make any comments, closing comments? Mic's open. Pastor Miles, thank you for I would call it an on-time word. This is something that, when they say that we are in the world, but we're not of the world, and there are so many devices out there to attempt to pull the believers away from the Word of God, to pull the believers away from even believing that there is a God. And this is a on-time word. What is it that old saying that says, today's thrill may be tomorrow's ruin. Today's thrill may be tomorrow's ruined. So we're out there, if many are out there having a thrill and just having a good time and not choosing to be obedient to the word of God and not realizing that they are leading or they are being led to the slaughterhouse. Amen. So this is a great word that you have shared with us evening. We thank you for coming on and taking your time to share with the body of Christ. It's good to have you back on again. And I'm sure that you're going to, we're going to hear a word from you more than just this evening. Amen. That God is going to utilize you to the masses that come on to listen via phone, via computer, via Zoom, via whatever tools that we're using to spread the gospel. So we do thank you. If you could close us out in prayer, we do thank you so much for your time and your service.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you thanking you once again, Father, for life, health, and strength. Lord, we thank you for the word that you had allowed us to break bread today once again to feed your people, Father. Now let us take this word, Father. Let us eat it up, digest it, and live it out, Lord, for we know that your word is the way to go. And as we depart one from another, Father, we ask that you bless every home that's here, bless every home that's represented, so that we may give your name the glory and the honor and praise once again. Now unto him that has the power to establish you according to the gospel and the preacher of Jesus Christ, keep your mind, will, imagination, intellect, and emotions pure before him and faultless. And let the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide to each and every one of us now, hence, and forevermore. And the church said, amen.
I face the dawn.